Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Podcast Manager Show. I'm really excited to share this episode with you because I am chatting with one of the Podcast Manager program students, Stephanie Jedice, on how she built her booming, profitable podcast management business. You're going to get some awesome takeaways from this episode. I also hope that you feel inspired by her story and see how possible it is for you. Now, if you're looking for more information on how you can build your business, make sure you grab a seat to my masterclass. I share how you can build your profitable podcast management business without working more than 20 hours a week. So you can grab your seat for that at laurenwrighton.com/masterclass. Let's get to this episode with Stephanie. Hey there, I'm Lauren, and you're listening to the Podcast Manager Show, a podcast for podcast managers. Each week, we cover the technical and tactical aspects of running a profitable podcast manager business. With over 90,000 new shows starting each month, podcast managers are in demand. And I'm here to help you land your dream clients while reaching your monthly income goals and without working like crazy. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode. Hey, Stephanie, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm excited to talk about your story.
Oh, it is so, so fun to be here. I feel like we have known each other for a while, ever since we met at Podcast Movement last year. And it's just been super, super fun to see the Podcast Manager Show come alive and just to see all of the changes that have been going on in the last year.
Yes. And you were one of the first early on students. Do you remember whenever you joined my program?
I do not remember. So I'm thinking it probably was maybe last summer. So right over a year, maybe, because it was before Podcast Movement, which was last August. So it must have been right before that. It must have been June or July of last year.
Yeah. Wow. It's felt like a long time. So
yes.
I'm really excited to talk about how you all the stages of podcast management you've gone through, so we can explain to people how one way that they could grow their business over the course of a year. So let's start with, what were you doing before you found me? What got you interested in podcast management in the first place?
Yeah, so I actually started my journey in the online space in January of 2018. So it's been a little over 2.5 years ago. I was a realtor. I actually still have my real estate license, but I was a realtor and things were kind of slow. And I was like, let me try this marketing stuff online. I had a marketing degree. And so I thought it would be fun. I kind of did a few little things for a local person here. So I jumped online, started kind of doing anything and everything for clients. You know, I think a lot of us start out that way. I was doing social media and website design and graphics and just email management and all kinds of stuff. So I started doing that. And I think I really couldn't quite figure out what I wanted to do. I popped around to a few different things and I worked with a lot of clients. And around, I guess it was about 1.5 years ago, I had a client who I was doing work for at the time. And she said, I want to launch a podcast. Do you know anything about podcasting? And I, at the time, knew absolutely nothing about podcasts other than I listened to them. But I had no idea that there was a whole production side of what went into a podcast. So that was my first kind of jump into the podcast management space. So I helped her launch her podcast and worked with her for well over a year. She's still going. We still talk all the time. But that was kind of how I got into the space. I just realized that whenever I started working for her, that it kind of combined my love for a lot of what I like to do. I liked to do a little bit of the website and I liked to do a little bit of copy and a little bit of graphics. And, you know, I loved the project management side. So it kind of allowed me to use all of those things that I really enjoyed, but to be able to niche down and offer it as, you know, one service to a client. So that's kind of how I got my start in the podcast management space.
Wow. So you just kind of jumped in. Like, did you teach yourself the things that you needed to launch that first podcast?
Yes. I was like, YouTube was my friend. Google was my friend. And luckily, she didn't know what was going on. She didn't know how to do it either. And so she was very, you know, forgiving of anything that, you know, we just kind of made it work. So yeah, that's kind of how we got started. I just figured it out. And then I think I'm trying to remember when she launched hers, must have been around March of that year. And then, like I said, then I found you probably around June or July. So a few months later, and then that's when I went through the course. And then last year, in August of last year, is when I went to Podcast Movement. And that is where I found my first client. And that is kind of what really set off my journey, I think, and to where at that point, I still had several other clients that I was doing work for. And just one at a time, I kind of released them, you know, and transitioned as my business grew a little bit. I released one more and one more. And then to where it was only a few months, and that's really all I did. And so that's now all I work with is podcasters.
Yeah, no, that's a great point to bring up is, like you said, a lot of us get started by doing a lot of different things, like all different types of tasks. Maybe we're call ourselves a virtual assistant, but we're trying to figure out where we fit in this online space. But then once you kind of figure out, okay, this is where I want to go, you can slowly get rid of the people that you're not doing the service that you really love, like podcast management.
Correct. And I mean, really, you know, it's you know, sometimes I look back on, I'm like, I always wished I would have found it sooner or niched down sooner, which I think is important. But I also, that is how, you know, by doing virtual assistant work is how I learned how to do websites and how I learned how to do, you know, write some copy. And that's how I learned how to use Canva for the first time. You know, I'd never used it before. And so that's how I learned to use a lot of the things, which made it easier jumping into something like podcast management, where you don't know how to use anything. You know, I was able to kind of use some of the stuff that I had previously learned.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Podcast management is so many different things, like you said. So, you know, having your foot in virtual assistant world is huge, helps so much with learning those skills that you really need. Also, I wanted to know, how did you find your client at Podcast Movement? Because a lot of us aren't going to live events right now, but like when that happens again, I'd love to hear like how that transpired.
Yeah. Well, actually my first client, I was in her membership. So I knew her before. And Brandy, who was on a podcast recently with you, that was my first client. And I met her in person at Podcast Movement, but I did previously know her. And it was at Podcast Movement. She at the time was a Facebook, Instagram ad strategist. And she went to Podcast Movement to find clients, right? And at the time, she really didn't think about starting a podcast until she went to Podcast Movement and kind of got the podcasting itch. And we were staying together and she was like, you know what, Stephanie, I'm ready to launch a podcast. So like, you know, send me your invoice and contract and let's do this. And so that's what we did at Podcast Movement. So it was really fun. But other than that, you know, that was my first client. But the first one that I found kind of out of nowhere, I would say, was in a Facebook group. It was kind of like you teach in the course and we talk and you know, you learn in other courses is really just showing up and doing your marketing and showing up, providing value in groups and that kind of thing. And I remember one of my first clients, she said that I reached out to her. She had so many comments on her Facebook post where she was looking for, you know, someone to help with her podcast. And I remember going in there and I made a video for her and I sent it to her and I emailed it to her. And I said, I know you got so many, you know, other great people to work with, but, you know, I would love to work with you. And I sent her a little video and she loved it. And she was like, where's your, you know, she said, let's book a call. Like, you definitely stood out. So I think that's important for anyone kind of getting started in the space is don't get discouraged if you see a bunch of people have already commented. Like, what can you do to stand out? Because sometimes, you know, you get a lot of comments, but maybe none of them are good fits or, you know, they didn't do anything. Or, you know, I think follow-up is huge too. Mm-hmm. It's just staying top of mind. I mean, one of the clients that I'm about to start working with next month, I met her about a year ago and she was not ready at the time. And I've just stayed in contact with her and now she's ready. And so now, you know, I'll be starting to work with her next month. So
wow, just
staying top of mind.
Yeah. And for the podcaster that's hiring, let's say they got, you know, 20 people's information through a Facebook post that they made. Well, then how are they going to decipher between all these people? You know, maybe let's say they're going to cut it in half by just like intuition of, okay, I didn't really like the way this person responded or whatever. Then they have 10 people. Okay, well, are they going to interview all 10 people? Because that's a lot of discovery calls to do from the podcaster's perspective. So I think that's really smart, whether you make a video or you do something that helps you to stick out. It makes it easier for the podcaster to then say, okay, I know I want to get on a call with you.
Yeah. And I think it's important just to remember that not everybody is a great fit for everyone. I mean, I've gotten on calls before with clients and for whatever reason, like maybe I just wasn't so excited about the podcast, or maybe it wasn't the right vibe. I mean, maybe the budget wasn't there. Maybe, you know, something else, maybe they wanted services that I didn't provide. Like I felt like someone else could do better and I'll refer them to someone else. And, you know, I did that the other day with someone, and everyone's packages look so different. And I think that's something with the podcast management space that we need to remember. You know, some of the newer podcast managers who've reached out to me and they're like, how do you offer all of these services and all of that? But really, I mean, podcast managers, you can start out doing only editing if that's what you want to do. And actually, I forgot to mention, when I started out in podcast management, my client had an editor. So I was doing all of the other work. So my package actually included everything but editing at the time. And I actually worked that way for a long time. It wasn't until I took on, you know, my first couple of clients, then I did my own editing, but then I quickly learned that that wasn't my zone of genius. And so now I have an awesome editor on my team. And so I think that once you kind of get into it and you see some people love editing, so you can really tailor your packages towards what you really enjoy. And, you know, you hate editing, don't do it. Like you don't have to offer all of the services to all of the different people. So I think it's really just important to remember what you enjoy doing and who you enjoy working with.
Yeah. And I want to dive back into you outsourcing your editing in a second, because I want to talk about that because it's something I get asked often. But first off, talking about like knowing if someone's going to be the right fit. I've had experiences where I tailored my package to someone's budget and I said, okay, well, I can't do everything for that price, but I can do X, Y, and Z. And I knew in my gut that it wasn't the right decision. I knew like, okay, I should just let someone else have this. You know, like they're looking for someone that's a little bit newer than I am. I knew like kind of deep down that I should just release this potential client, but scarcity mindset got the best of me. And I, you know, I tried to make it work and we started working together, and it was like 1 month in, I'm like, this is not where I am in my business. Like I'm, you know, I was more of that strategist role already, and I was back into like the weeds of things that I just didn't have interest in doing anymore. So man, I've made that mistake before where, you know, like this probably isn't the right fit, but I'm just going to go ahead with it. And it's just a waste of time for everyone.
I know. I will say that I did the same thing. And, you know, one thing that I always try to tell other people, but then I also have to tell myself continuously, is because I've done the same thing, worked with some people that maybe weren't the best fit. And you have to remember that you only have so much energy and so much time, right? So if you bring on a client that is not a great fit and that is going to occupy, you know, 5 to 8 hours of your week, that means, and you may do it, like you said, for a budget, you might say, oh, okay, you know, like, well, what if I don't get another client? Okay, well, so now you've done it, you've reduced your price and you've, you know, changed your services up, or maybe you're offering services that you don't enjoy. So mm-hmm. now you're doing that. You're also blocking the time and the mental space and, you know, everything else from being able to work with clients who really do light you up and who really are a great fit. Mm-hmm. And I think in the beginning, I was working out of scarcity mindset too. And I just thought, I have to take any client. I have to take any client. And you know, I think it's just sometimes after you work with some of those people, you realize like that just wasn't a good fit. And I knew kind of deep down that that wasn't. And now I've gotten better at knowing, like I said, I've gotten on a few calls and I just knew from the get-go, like just from the questions they would ask or whatever, I thought this is going to be a little bit higher maintenance client and mm-hmm. I can't do that right now. So that's when you say, you know what, this isn't a great fit. And, you know, I think too, the more and more you niche down into whatever area it is you enjoy, you were just saying, you really know who your client is and what they really need. Mm-hmm. And so you're able to provide better value to them and kind of show up as the expert more in whatever it is niche. You know, say you love working with health coaches. I talked with someone the other day and she loves health coaches and she can speak their language because she worked in that space. Mm-hmm. So I was like, that's the value. You're the expert in that field. That's what you need to do. Whereas I probably wouldn't be able to speak the language of some very niche down health and wellness podcast. So I think, you know, finding your space is very important. And I think that comes with time too.
Yeah, it definitely comes with time. I agree. And I think in the beginning, if it's like your first or your second client, it's okay to be like, hey, I'm going to work with a podcaster. Anyone that's a podcaster.
Anybody that will pay
anyone.
Me.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's okay. I think some people are almost like mm-hmm. ashamed to say that they're in that spot. They're like, hey, I'm brand new. I want to work with someone, not anyone, but the net is very wide. And that's okay, because then you can mm-hmm. land that one client. You can learn a ton. If they end up not being the best fit, after a month or two or three, you can just cycle them out with someone else. you know, you've got more experience. That first client got you at a lower rate maybe than they would have if they would have hired you a couple months later. So I think there's a time and a place. But once you have experience and once you know who you want to work with, you have to hold yourself accountable to not.
100%. Yeah. 100%. And I think it's kind of one of those like taking action, you know, taking action and just doing it to learn and getting that experience under your belt. And then from there, like you said, you know, work with them for 3 months. And then while you're waiting on that client that you really want to work with, and then, like you said, cycle them out, you know, and release them. And there'll be somebody else that is in our group or whatever that would love to work with that client, you know, so.
Yeah. And more on the like the ideal client thing. Like you said, whatever like field someone's interested in, a lot of people don't realize that like it's actually is a big asset that they're just interested in the topic. Myself, I'm not big into like woo-woo stuff. So I can't speak that language. Like I don't know all of the things that they talk about. So if I were to like write a show description on crystals, I probably wouldn't write it correctly because I would misspeak some way. So even if like you don't feel like you're an expert at all, but you like that field and you listen to podcasts on those topics, you actually do have a lot more education than you think that you do, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And there are so many, it's even in the group, you know, I've seen so many different people that have niched down into very specific, like some of those people have like love science or love sci-fi or love, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And if you can do that and can get into that space, then, you know, then you are the expert in whatever it is, whatever crime, true crime podcasts or whatever, because you can write about that. But if it's not something that interests you, you have to remember too, especially if you're doing several hours of editing, several hours of show notes and that kind of thing, you know, you want to do something that is of interest to you.
Yeah. So let's talk about your workflow. I want to know about like what you're outsourcing. And then also like what your day-to-day looks like, how often you're working, that type of thing.
I am working a lot right now, unfortunately. I am not the greatest example of how many hours you should be working, but—
No, that's okay. That's
you know, it's one of those things. It's like, I do have the freedom. I think sometimes we, just as moms or whoever working from home, you kind of feel like you work all the time, but it's really because you work a few hours here and then you do this and then you work, you know, the kids get out of school and you're working a few hours at night. And so you feel like you've worked all day when in reality, it's probably not the truth. But yeah, I mean, my business has really grown. And ever since COVID hit, actually, right when coronavirus hit, I lost a client and I was like, oh no. And, you know, I got into that mindset thinking of, oh no, I'm going to lose all of my clients, right? All of my clients are going to, you know, I'm going to lose them all. I lost that one client. And since then, I think I've doubled my business since COVID hit. So, I mean, yeah, it's been crazy. So now, I mean, I have 12 clients right now, but it's 15 podcasts a week. But, you know, I'm in the middle of two launches right now. I'm doing three podcast launch intensives right now. So I'm doing a lot right now. I kind of already said, like, I think I might be done for the rest of the year. Like, I think I've kind of done enough. So as far as my team goes, so I do not do all of this alone. I do a lot of the podcast launch myself. So whenever you're taking on a launch, and I usually only do one to two max at the same time, because it can be a lot depending, especially on how quick you're trying to put it out. As far as my team, so I have a wonderful editor and I found her actually after Podcast Movement last year. I found her and she's been awesome and she is so quick and everything to get back. I just outsource all of the editing to her now. So she's taken that fully over. And then as I took on more and more clients and kind of grew my business, I realized that show notes were taking me a long time. And I'm an Enneagram perfectionist and they were taking a long time to do. So I realized I am better suited, probably not writing all of the show notes. Now I have a show notes writer who helps do some of that. And then I have a wonderful VA who helps me with some of the graphics. It kind of depends on the client. And so I do certain things for certain clients and then, you know, with the websites and the graphics and all of that. And then I do all of the guest management. And then recently had a wonderful project manager to come on and has kind of helped me just move some things along and just making sure, because I was finding it's good and bad, but the more clients you bring on, you kind of have to work every single day, because if you're not there, stuff is not moving along or stuff's not being done or it's not being moved on to the person that it needs to be. And so she kind of came in and, you know, getting like set up of just making sure everything was flowing and that all of the clients were turning their episodes in on time. And I have a whole workflow now and it's pretty streamlined, but that is kind of what we're doing right now.
Yeah, that makes sense. So that project manager is more making sure that the clients are getting their stuff in versus like your team members are getting stuff to each other?
She's actually a little bit more on the team side. So I have a little bit of a soft spot in my heart for my clients. I really love my clients. And so I have not given up that client communication piece of it. I love like the connection with my clients. So I do have like a form that's connected to my project management tool, which is ClickUp. And I have a form that the podcaster, the host fills out, and it just tells me that the episode is ready. And then from there, my project manager will take it and then start, you know, making sure that it goes out to editing and starts like kind of the workflow from there. You know, I've been trying to take myself out of more and more pieces of it. So I do a lot of like the quality control checks. And then, like I said, I'm still client facing and do all of that as well. Mm-hmm. And then all of the launches and the intensives, which I'm kind of in the middle of building out. So
awesome. So for someone that's listening to this and thinking, oh gosh, I would love to have like people helping me with this, and they'd love to have that kind of top overarching role like you do, how soon are you getting the episode from your client to then make that process behind the scenes work?
Yeah, I actually was listening to your podcast this morning about like your timelines and how long everything was taking in the podcast management process. And I was adding up how many hours. I was like, okay, how many hours do we spend on this, this, and this? But for the most part, most of my clients are pretty good batchers. Some of them like batch out, kind of like we said. I mean, it's awesome if they can batch out four in one day and you have them for the whole month, right? And I have one client who is batched out through December. I mean, she has every podcast episode recorded through December, but I mean, she's, you know, she's on top of it. She's got a full-time job. So that's what she has to do. But some of my clients are kind of last minute. They might give it to me 3 days in advance and try to turn it around as quick as I can. But for the most part, I kind of try to get everything within like a 7-day window. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I do that too is because I do guest management. I like to be able to turn the episode around in enough time to be able to email the guests. I usually say like 3 to 5 days in advance and kind of give them that save the date email. Your episode's going live here. I give links to all of their graphics. And then I also send an email the day it goes live. So in order for me to be able to do my job on the guest management side, I really do need it 7 days in advance so I can turn it around in 2 or 3 days to be able to send out that email 3 to 5 days in advance. So that's kind of, that's my goal. It doesn't always happen, but we try to move it along.
Yeah, I totally get you. And I always like cringe when I'm sending a guest an email to the guest like on Sunday night. Yes. Like, man, I really wish I would have gotten this to them on Thursday.
I do the same thing. And I mean, you try, and that's one of the things. It's like, you know, sometimes I'm doing, you know, uploading to Libsyn the night before, or, you know, and I get so nervous. I don't like working like that. I like getting ahead, and it's a little bit of that perfectionistic tendency too. I don't like being like behind, and I like staying on top of things, but if they get it to me late and then we have to turn it around late and something happens or whatever, then, you know, it does. And it all works out. Like, it'll be fine and it goes out. And sometimes the worst thing that happens is we'll push it off a day if we have to. I mean, I try to keep my clients on consistent schedules, but if we need to release late or release, you know, skip a week if we have to, then we do that too.
Yeah. And I have to go back to you saying like that you're working a lot. You could tell that you like feel guilty that you're working more. Because I feel like in the online business space, it's like if you work more than 20 hours a week, then you're doing it wrong. When really, who cares? Like, you work as much as you want to. And if you're in this big growth spot for your business and you want to work more, then go for it, right? We shouldn't feel guilty about that.
I know. It is one of those things. And I mean, I have 2 young kids. So, you know, ultimately, my goal would probably be to work those hours that the kids are at school, you know, at least right now at school. So, you know, between 9 and 2-ish or whatever, that would be awesome. Maybe to even have a half day on Friday. I mean, ultimately that would be my goal, and not be working like nights and weekends. I don't work a lot of weekends. Sometimes I don't work a lot of nights either. I just work a lot during the day. But, you know, I mean, would I like to work a little bit? Yes. But like you said, I'm in like definitely the growth phase right now. So I think, you know, after these launches and that kind of thing, then it'll go back to normal. So I think that as an entrepreneur, you know, podcast manager, but just an entrepreneur in general, you have to know that, you know, sometimes like you are working your desired 20 or 25 hours a week, and then sometimes it's going to ramp up and you're going to have to work 30 or 35 or more, you know? So yeah. I think that if you have the good ebb and flow, then it all works out.
Yeah. And it gets to the point where, like, you know, you went from trying to land those first clients to all of a sudden you have to say no to people, and it's hard to say no.
Oh, it's hard to say. Very hard.
Yeah.
My husband says all the time, he's like, Stephanie, you know that you can turn off your discovery call like late on. I'm like, I know, but it's so hard. And then I'm like, I'm not taking any more clients. And then one comes along, I'm like, oh, she's so cool. I love what she does. I would love that, you know, personal development podcast or whatever. So, you know, it's kind of funny. But yeah, that's, we'll see. I'm going to try to slow down around Christmas to really have that as my month to slow down. And then see what January brings, because as Lauren and I were chit-chatting right before we went on, we were like, in the online space, you never know what's going to happen a month from now, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, like your business could be 100% totally different. So for anyone who is just starting their business or kind of ramping up their business, or maybe in the like total growth phase of their business, I think it's just important to remember that you can always change what you do. You can always change the services you offer. You know, some people, even in the podcast space, have niched down to where they're doing podcast pitching, you know, for clients. Mm-hmm. Like there's so many different avenues that you can go and things that you can do. And you don't have to offer all the services to all the people. And it's just really cool to be able to see kind of how podcasting is evolving and the different things that are going to be needed. And I think even just, it'll be totally different in 3 months, right? I mean, we've seen a huge shift even since coronavirus. So
yeah, 100%. So you mentioned that you're doing podcast intensives now. And I actually am going to have someone on the show talking about intensives and the idea of intensives, but I'd love to know where you're at with that and how you're, just a little bit of how you're doing it.
Yeah. So I'm kind of in the beginning stages of it, but I have 3 people signed up for it. So I need to do it, right? You know, my intensive was kind of initially set up as, okay, great. I have these clients, but I really can't take on any more launch clients at this point. So what do I offer now that would be, or, you know, it would be offered to someone who may want to do the management piece themselves. And so I'm getting them set up and getting them launched and then showing them how they can do the management piece. So then from there on out, then they are able to manage it themselves, or they're able to pass it off to, maybe they have a VA that can do some of the work themselves or something. So initially that was kind of who the intensive would be set for. It's hard in my head. I know that we've both launched a lot of podcasts, but like, you know, you a lot of times work on a podcast for 6 to 8 weeks. And I'm like, how do I launch it in, how do I do an intensive in 1 day or maybe 2 days or whatever it is? So that's what I'm kind of trying to figure out right now. And just making sure ultimately it's getting a lot of that upfront work. And I think where a lot of people struggle is not knowing kind of the strategy and the piece and the plan behind it. So that's what I'm kind of building out right now, is just the, here's your checklist plan. Here's some Loom videos walking you through how to do this piece. But then ultimately they are doing the production side of it. I'm just helping more with the strategy and plan, and then doing some of the initial, it's kind of a little bit of a, I'm calling it a done with you. It's not a done for you, and it's not a DIY. It's not a course, you know, here, take this course and learn how to do it. So it's a little bit of that done with you. And so we'll see kind of how it transpires, but that's kind of what I'm thinking will happen right now.
Yeah, I think the done with you is really needed in the podcast launch space, because, you know, there's been a couple more podcasting courses, how to start a podcast courses launched in the last couple of months. And I love seeing that. But I also know that a lot of my clients that I ended up landing, they'd already bought a course and they didn't have their podcast launched. So like, you know, I love that those courses are coming out, but there's a lot of people that don't want a course. They need, they need the accountability.
And I think they need that little bit of push. Even like, you know, some of the things that I was doing for one of my intensives is I'm going ahead and writing, like, let me get your intro written, your outro written. Mm-hmm. That's what some of those pieces that like people just don't know how to start. Like, just give me like the first step. And it is overwhelming. I mean, courses are wonderful, but some of them, you know, I mean, to go through a course, and a lot of the people are busy and right. And everybody's busy nowadays, but you know, they're busy and they may not have the time to go fully through the course. And then I think they realize once they go through the course, they're like, I don't have the time or energy or knowledge or know-how to want to go and do all of these things. So I think getting them started off on the right foot, you know, getting their podcast submitted for them, it holds them a little bit of accountable. That's kind of what I'm doing with one of the ones that I'm doing right now. I'm like, okay, so here's where you should be. Here's your checklist. How is it going? Do you have any questions for me? You know, I'm kind of helping her a little bit long, more than I probably will future clients, but I just want to see what questions she's having and then, you know, build it out from there. She was kind of my beta tester, if you want to call it that. So, you know, it's been neat to see what she needs help with. And ultimately it's the same thing. She's like, Oh my gosh, this is so helpful. And she worked in the podcasting space before and has done podcast management-ish type tasks for clients. And she just,
wow,
she needed someone to like hold her hand and to kind of walk her through and help her. And so that's what, you know, I've kind of tried to do.
Yeah. And I think one of the pieces of value that you bring to the table once you have some experience launching is just to say, yes, this intro is a good podcast intro. Like someone might have a copywriter on their team, so they don't need it to be written, but they need kind of that stamp of approval of that it's hitting all the boxes of a great intro, of a great outro, of a great cover art, like all of the pieces of a launch. They just almost want just that stamp of approval from someone like you who's been there and seen what really works.
Yeah. I mean, almost like a little mini audit as you go through. I was literally boxing, you know, one of my launch intensive client right before this. And I said, this is my feedback on your editing of the intro. This is what I would do. And, you know, and I told her kind of what I do. I mean, she wants to learn how to edit because she wants to edit her own, you know, but just, I think me being able to tell her this is, you know, this is how you could make it better or to give her tips or tricks, you know, I think is super helpful. And that sometimes courses can't provide, right? You don't have that one-on-one. So it's a little bit of like that built-in accountability coach, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, just somebody like a strategist just to say, does this look good? Does this, you know, what do you think about this? And, you know, like I did some of her cover art and I'm giving her some of her graphics. And then from there on out, she'll do the graphics for all of her episodes and everything like that. But I think just getting them set up for her, I think is a huge relief.
Yeah, 100%. So that brings up another point of the people that you've launched for. Are you always doing their management?
So I actually, let me think. Yes. So far, every one of my launch clients has turned into a management client. And then I have three people that I have brought on as management clients that I didn't do launches for. But I do have one client that I'm launching right now. And I think what she ultimately is going to do is probably try to outsource it to her team. But we're just going to do like a 3-month management and we'll see where it goes from there. I mean, you never know, things change, but yeah. So ultimately, you know, I'll set up some systems to where she'll be able to outsource it to her VA afterwards and she'll see if that works out or whatever. But yeah, all of my launch clients have turned into management clients. I think Brandy used to tell me that. She said, Stephanie, you, as a podcast manager, you've created this like your clients can't go anywhere, right? Because now that you've launched their podcast, they have no idea how to do anything. So I think, you know, I guess I hate saying that, but I guess it is true. I really never thought about it like that. But she's like, I ultimately have your checklist. I know what you do, but I don't know how to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And the strategy or the pieces behind it. So I think once you've done launches, I mean, you ultimately know how to do everything. And so unless you're going to train them how to do it, they can't really manage it themselves.
Yeah, it's wild. Like now that I have my own show again and I'm thinking through like, wow, my clients, like they don't even know what Libsyn is. You know, they might recognize the name. They see the charge come out of their account, but like they don't even log into it. Yeah, they go to me for the numbers that I just look at Libsyn for or Chartable or whatever. So 100%. Yeah, it's number one, I'm like, good for you for being able to outsource something completely. You know, like I have a hard time outsourcing anything like that completely. So good on our clients for that. But yeah, it's definitely, you get into a spot where they're like, everything's running so smoothly with the podcast. I can't let go of Stephanie.
I feel bad for my clients. Sometimes I literally was thinking this earlier. I was like, man, sometimes I feel like I need to like check in on my clients. Like they send me their stuff through a form and it gets put into my management and I see it come through and I know, and then I start the process, you know, show notes, Libsyn, you know, editing, like graphics and social media. And I start doing all of the things and literally it just goes out right on Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning, whenever their podcast launches. And really, I actually don't do any sort of like back and forth with my clients. Like once they give me the file, they don't really approve anything before it goes live. So
yeah,
sometimes you feel like, I guess they're still there. I mean, I get, you know, some of my clients, I think like that I just, they record and I do everything else and it just goes out. So,
oh, I'm sure they love that because, you know, now that I've been hiring more people on my team, I think, okay, when I hire this person, it's actually going to give me more work to do because I'm going to have to be responsible for, like in the podcast example, they're responsible for getting you the episode. But if they have to get you all of these other things, it's just more work on their plate when they're really trying to get rid of work. Correct. So I'm sure that they just love that, like, there is no back and forth.
Yes. They're
like,
okay. I mean, I try to set it up that way to make it easy, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's the end game, is to make it as easy and smooth on your client as possible, because they're balancing so many different pieces of their business and they want to have a podcast. But as soon as it becomes too complicated and too overwhelming from a time standpoint or whatever, they're going to get overwhelmed. So you and all the other podcast managers out there, I believe, are on the team to make it so much easier and simple on the client.
Yeah. And I mean, really, it's one of those things, like, you're making it simpler on the client because there's not a back and forth. I mean, we know that all of our clients, especially most of our clients and the higher end clients or whatever, I mean, they don't have time to review things. They just want to fully outsource everything. And so that is fine by me because it makes it easier on me too, because, you know, a few of my clients, sometimes we've had to wait on them to approve this or to look at this or whatever. And then that delays your workflow too, right? Mm-hmm. And we all are trying to, you know, have a certain workflow and to time batch and to do things in a certain order, and you want it to get done in a certain way. And whenever the client has to step in, whether it's a half a day process or a 2 day process or something, I mean, that kind of messes up everything in the workflow, and it's hard to kind of balance that. So it makes it easier on me. And so I try to kind of train my clients that I'm not going to have a lot of that back and forth. You know, I don't really want that client that is going to want to see everything at every step along the way, because and that's too many tweaks and edits and too many, you know, things. It's going to take way longer than it should, right?
Yeah. And that's one thing you can talk to clients about once you're, like, onboarding them, is either how you work, what your workflow is like. I had a client who, she batch record all of her episodes. So I had them at least a month in advance, which was amazing. But she only worked on the podcast on Tuesdays. So if I had a question for her, you know, first couple of times I would message her just whenever, she only responded on Tuesdays.
Oh, and I'm like, man, that's amazing. I wish I had that boundary. I know. I wish I had that boundary. Yeah.
I was like, good for, I mean, she was killing it. And that was clearly why. But she literally only would respond on Tuesdays. So then I just started being prepared. Like, if I had guest management questions, she was in no rush. She would get back to me on Tuesday, and it didn't matter because we were so far ahead. But as soon as you get out of that habit, you can get back onto that hamster wheel of, like, episode is going live tomorrow. And yeah, it's, like, so much easier to stay ahead of the game.
Yeah. And I think the longer, you know, you work with your clients, a lot of my clients, like, especially now, have been with me for a long time. So it's like, I know what they look for. I know what they like. Mm-hmm. I know what they don't like. And for the most part, I can kind of make, if there's a decision, it's nothing that's life-changing, right? Our decisions. Yeah. It's like, would they like this color or that color or this to say that or whatever? I mean, I kind of just make the decision. And I think that we all know that it can be changed later. If something went on the website, like, change it up later. Or, hey, fix this or fix that. You know, you can always change something out.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't even realize you can just switch out an audio file. Like, if a podcast episode goes live and they're like, oh, wait, can you, like, add this ad in? I wouldn't do that for anyone, but people that I've been working for, you know, a long, long time, I'm like, oh, for sure, I'll go back, add something in.
Oh, I've done that, or messed up, you know, the intro. Let's do this intro instead or something. Oh, yeah, you can definitely. Yeah. Nothing is permanent.
Yeah. Everything, which is amazing. That's lots of grace there.
Thank goodness. Yeah. Exactly.
So we were talking about how you never know what your business is going to look like in 6 months, but where do you want to see yourself going in the next couple of months?
Oh gosh, that's so hard. So right now, you know, I've toyed back and forth with, do I go the agency model and, like, truly scale it that way? Or do I offer something else? And I think kind of where I am right now is I'm very happy with the amount of clients that I have and the clients that I have. So unless, you know, something drastically changes, I don't think I'm going to onboard too many more clients probably over the next few months. I would love to give myself a little bit of white space to be able to kind of think through that. Like, what do I really want out of my business and where do I really see it going? Whether that's cutting back on my clients and maybe working with them on a bigger scale or offering some different types of services for them. I've thought about that. And then also, like I said, with the intensive, kind of scaling that maybe a little bit more and being able to offer that. So that's kind of what I'm thinking right now, is being content at where I am and letting myself have a little bit of that white space to be able to kind of see what next steps are, you know, and just to take a breather.
Yeah. I've been in that spot. Like you said, you're a mom, you have two young little boys. So you're like, I need just like an hour of nothing so I can decide where am I going from here?
Yeah, I just want to read a book. I love to read. So anytime I'm always like, oh, I wish I was reading a book right now.
I was reading your bio before we got on this and I saw the last part of it. It says that you love like tucking up with a cup of coffee and a book. And I was like, sounds so nice.
So nice. Oh my gosh.
Sometimes a little bit out of reach in this mom world, but
that's my like sacred morning routine is to try to get up and read every day. So that's what I'm trying to do. But like, I'm trying to learn piano right now. So I'd love to be able to spend a little more time doing that. So there's some little things like that, that, you know, I think that I need to allow myself to have a little bit of space with, but then also just be happy with where things are and the growth that I've seen in my business and everything like that. And I'm loving my clients and loving my team right now. So I'm very happy with where everything is.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on your growth over the last year and a half. I mean, I just love seeing what you're doing. Where could people find you if they want to follow you and see what you're doing and see you as you grow?
Yeah. Probably the best place would be Instagram. And you can find me at Stephanie Judice. And my website is stephaniejudice.com. So I know you'll link up everything in the show notes, but it's J-U-D-I-C-E. And yeah, that's kind of where I hang out. And feel free to always ever email me or reach out on Instagram or Facebook. I'm always happy to answer any questions.
Well, thanks so much for being on. And I hope that this episode for anyone that's really starting out, that they can see themselves in you and see like what their business could become.
Yes, I remember the day. So I'm always like happy to, you know, sometimes people always say, oh, my business was like that. And I just remember it wasn't long ago to where I was looking at that with a lot of different people. So, you know, and even I still do now, I look at someone, you know, that's working the magical 10 hours a week and you know, making $500,000 a year. But yeah, no.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Stephanie.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. Come connect with me over on Instagram at Lauren Wrighton or in the Podcast Manager Mastermind on Facebook and let me know what you liked about this episode. You can always find the links and resources mentioned in this show over at laurenwrighton.com. Until next time, I'll be cheering you on.